Here's the deal. Here's what we've done in the last couple of weeks. We've laid some foundation. We've taught some truths that serving is built off of. And some of those quotes are up there at the top of your study sheets. We've talked about it's the very reason that God created us. God created us so that we could know Him personally. Through that personal relationship that comes when we surrender our life to Him. So He wants us to know Him. He wants us to worship Him. And He wants us to, oh come on, you can fill in that blank, serve Him. Absolutely. It's not just this rogue idea of some lame pastor that's thinking up more stuff for you to do that you don't have time to do. This is the design of God on every believer's life, whether the believer is in elementary school or whether they're a senior adult. God designed us to know Him, to worship, and to serve. And he even went so far as to command us to serve Him. And we talked the first week that along with a command is the expectation that God has for us to obey that command. And anytime God commands us and has that expectation, there's going to come that point in time, that day when we become accountable to Him as to how we've obeyed what He's asked us to do. And there's so much going on in this realm of serving. But here we are. We're at week three. Now let's just, I'm not going to ask you if we can be honest. I caught myself on that. Let me phrase it this way. Let's just be honest with each other. Here we've talked about it for 3 weeks. And at this point in time, I could teach on it for another 2 years, but you've already in your heart and mind made up your mind whether or not you're going to serve. I'm not going to say anything today to talk you into serving. You've already decided whether you are or whether you're not. And you know, it's kind of, Here's what's going on in your heart and in your mind. We use the phrase a lot of times, believing a lie. You know, we will act or react in a certain way because so-and-so is believing a lie. Well, when you believe a lie, you know what you begin to do? You begin to live that lie because you live what you believe. It always works that way. So if you're set on the fact that, you know what, I don't care what the little guy says. I'm not even putting a maybe down there. You know, you can make a shirt that says maybe, and I'm not even getting one of those shirts. I've already made up my mind. And so here's the deal. Here's one of the four lies that you're living. Lie number one is I don't have to. I mean, serving is like extra credit for Christians, right? I've already believed, I've given my life to Christ, so I'm a believer. When I die, I'm going to heaven, so I don't have to serve. That's just extra. Well, what a lie that is. Because we just got through talking about there's going to come a time when we become accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ on how we've served. At the judgment seat of Christ, when you stand face to face, and I stand, every believer one at a time is face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And He begins to ask about our serving and what it was like and how faithful we were and all the details that surround that. Well, all of a sudden, it gets very real. And you are going to be accountable. You will have to answer for serving. It is so important. But then you've got another crowd. You know, it's not that they don't have to. You've got a crowd over here that has the audacity to look at God and say, I just don't want to. Listen to how quiet it is. It's real quiet like that when there's a lot of us that have said that to God. right? I just don't want to. I don't want to do the things that they're talking about. I don't want to go in the nursery. I would rather take a beating as to go downstairs with teenagers. Oh, help me, please. You know, and I just don't want to. Like the world revolves around you, right? As a parent, when your kid says, I don't want to, how did that work at your house? Right? You want me to tell you what you said to your kid? Because I know what you said to your kid. Same thing we said. We said, I'm about to knock you out. I don't care what you want to do and what you don't. I don't want to go to school. Well, nobody asked you for your opinion. Right? I don't want to go to the doctor. Well, just suck it up, buttercup. And you know what you've said. So spiritually, when you look at God and say, God, I just don't want to. There's nothing that appeals to who? Say it out loud. Me. There's nothing that I really think that I like. Oh, really? Boy, it sounds so ugly when we talk about it out loud, doesn't it? But these are the thoughts that we believe, that we've bought into, that we're living. You know, I don't have to. I don't want to. Oh, those sound ugly. So here's the one that we use more than anything. I don't have time to, right? And that could be true, because if you're talking about extra time, disposable time, you're probably right. Because we live in a packed world. I mean, our schedules are booked up for the next 4 years, right? Our weeks need to have 9 days instead of 7 because they're that packed. And so when you tell God, God, I don't have time to, there is a ray of truth in that. But here's the other side of that. We make time for the things that are important to us. And we make time for the things that are priorities in our life. We say we don't have time, and we think that God's going to believe that. What we're not saying out loud is, God, it's just not important enough in my life for me to rearrange my schedule and make time. Now, if I got tickets to a ball game, I can make time for that, right? Oh, absolutely, because that's important. Yeah, but to serve, have you ever noticed there's just never time to serve? I don't have to. I don't want to. I don't have any extra time. And then here's a dandy. This is just great. You know what? God understands. Really? Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? We live it, but do you really believe that? Do you really believe that when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to say, now listen, hon, I've been asking everybody else about serving, but I'm not going to bring that up with you because I know you were real busy. I know you had kids. I know where you worked. So I understand. It's okay. Next. You really see that happening? I don't. But yet we live like we believe that. Oh, because somehow or another, look on your study sheet there before all the blanks start, there's a little phrase right there about two-thirds of the way up. Serving God is what? Not about me. If I could just get a hold of that one concept, that it doesn't matter what I want to do, it doesn't matter what I like or what appeals to me. It doesn't matter how busy my schedule is, because if it's important enough, I'll rearrange and make time. Serving God is not about me. It's all about who? Oh, surely you can guess that answer. You're in church. The preacher asks you a question. 9 times out of 10, what's the answer? Jesus or God. So just pick one and say it. It's all about who? Right. Mercy. So one more time, let's just lay some foundation. Let me talk to you about serving. And let me challenge you to say yes. Now, on a broader scale, let me throw this in too. You can say yes to the Lord about a lot of things other than serving. Do you realize that? We've had a lot of people in the last 3 weeks that have said yes to God about salvation. Marcus told you that there were three kids Wednesday night when Coach spoke that gave their lives to Christ. We had people the last 3 weeks here in our church and our ministry that gave their lives to Christ. People have said yes to salvation. People have said yes to several families that are looking for a church home. And they said, this is where I want to invest my heart, my family, my time, my worship. And they said, I want this to be my spiritual family. People have said yes to serving. People have said yes. We saw Nathan last week. He said yes. The Lord asked him about baptism. I don't think your baptism is in the right order. You got baptized before you were saved. I need you to get that straightened out. And Nathan said, yes, Lord. What's he talking to you about? Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's getting right with somebody. Maybe it's a marriage issue. Maybe it's something between you and your parents or you and your kids, you and your boss. Whatever God's asking you about in your life, what's your answer going to be? I hope you will say yes. Grab your study sheet. Let's look at some things this morning. All right, here's my disclaimer. You ready for this? My purpose this morning is not to make anybody feel guilty because you're not serving. That's your decision. You're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to be accountable for that. My job is not to make you feel guilty. If you feel guilty, that's God's job, not mine. He's going to probably, rather than make you feel guilty, He's going to draw you to Him. And when He draws you to Him, He's going to point you in the way of serving. All right? My job's not to make you feel guilty. My job is to pull the curtain back, if you will, and help you see how phenomenally important serving is. It's not extra credit. It's not something that, you know, some people do and some people don't. It's not something just that the kids do and, you know, we're more mature adults and, you know, and we've worked in the nursery a couple of times in our life and that should be it for eternity. You know, it's not like that. But it's got to be a part, an integral part of our walk with God. I want you to understand how important serving is. Now, parenthesis, time out. Next week, we're going to get back into the end times, all right? Fast forward a few weeks when we get on our timeline into the millennial reign of Christ, and there are people here that are saying, what? But this is the 1,000-year reign when Jesus comes back. And for the next 1,000 years, He sets up His throne in Jerusalem, where I hope you'll go with me in May. You need to come tonight at 5 o'clock. If nothing else, the refreshments are incredible. And I just lied to you because there's no refreshments. All right? So, He's on the throne. He's ruling and He's reigning from Jerusalem. And we, the Bible says, we get to rule and reign with Him. But do you understand that the jobs and the responsibilities that we get, that He assigns to us, is based off of our faithfulness in serving Him now? That's a big deal. That's a big stinking deal. And I'm just trying to pull the curtain back. I'm not going to say anything that's going to talk you into serving. I just want you to understand where you are and what God's asking of you. Is that fair? Everybody good with that? Are the rest of you good with that? Okay. Here we go. Grab a pen. Good ones are in the pew. We fill them up every week. We don't. Sandy does. All right, here we go. Three principles. Number one, Number one, God receives our serving as a sacrifice. Well, I never thought of it that way. It's because we think of serving through whose eyes? Our eyes. Have you ever turned everything around and said, I wonder how God looks at my serving, at our serving, as believers that serve Him? What does God see when He looks at serving? You know, Scripture says that He looks at it as a sacrifice. Look in Romans chapter 13, verse 16. If we had more time, I would have backed up about three or four verses and gone several verses past 16. Just put a little mark right there and read that whole long passage. But out of that passage, this kind of summarizes it. And it says in chapter 13, verse 16, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such," what? "Sacrifices, God is pleased." Do you ever think about whether your life pleases God or not? Or do you just try to be good? I mean, it's just a thought. I thought I would ask you that. You know, the Bible talks a lot about our lives pleasing God. But we don't usually think about that a lot day to day. "For with such sacrifices," you want to please God? Then He's pleased with sacrifices, and the sacrifices are those that come. There's a lot of different kinds that come from serving Him. All right? What's a sacrifice? Gosh, you go back into the Old Testament there, and the sacrifice was something that was not important to, started with Adam and Eve. It wasn't something that was important to them, but it was something that was important to who? Important to God. It wasn't something that brought Adam and Eve glory, but a sacrifice would always bring glory to God. Okay, you've got to remember those two things. Number one, something that's important to God, something that brings Him glory. Not me, not you, but brings glory to God. See, we use sacrifice a lot of times in the wrong way. You know, we use it, if I give something up, then I'm calling that a sacrifice, right? You know, I'm not a golfer, but if I were, I could give up Tuesday morning golf time for something and put that in a sentence and say, boy, I'm sacrificing my golf game for this. Is that really a sacrifice? Do you really think God... it's important to God. This is going to hurt some of you guys. Say it out loud, guys. No. It's not important to Him. Does your golf game bring glory to Him? Can I answer that for you? No. It's something for who? For you, for me. It's not a sacrifice. You know, I've heard people say this, and this is just hilarious to me. You know, I'm giving God a sacrifice. I'm giving up chocolate. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm giving up chocolate for a month for God. What? Number one, God created chocolate, so He knows all about chocolate. But is that really special to God? I mean, do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne, elbows the Father and says, would you look at that? They're giving up chocolate for us. Seriously? God's not interested in chocolate. That may be good for you, you know. It may be... I don't know, a health issue, a weight issue. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's not about God, so it must be all about who? It must be all about me. And in serving is not about me. Serving always points to the Father. If you don't learn anything else today, two things right here. Serving, true serving, will always point to the Father. And true serving will always bring God glory. If those two things aren't there, then it's not serving. It could be, there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of good things that people do. A lot of humanitarian things that people do that are not serving, right? But it's just a way of helping. Go back to this verse right here. God receives our serving as a sacrifice. Nothing will ever be a sacrifice in your life until it becomes a priority. You don't casually give something up and that's looked at as a sacrifice. It's got to be a priority. I've got to have scheduled around it. It's got to be something that's going to happen in my life regardless. Okay? Serving is a huge priority. And it's nothing really new. Every one of us, if you take it in a very loose sense, like you're giving up something, we've all done that before. That's not, that's not sacrificing, but that's giving up. But we've rearranged our schedules. We've gone without. We've gone on the cheapo plan. We've saved money. We've cut here. We've done that for things that are important to us. To get that extra money to go on vacation, man, we'll eat tuna fish for a month just to save a few bucks so that we can really take that nice vacation for our family. You know, we'll rearrange our time at work. We'll work extra several days so that we can take some comp time to do something with our kids or to go to a ball game or something. We do all those things because they're important to us. But here's what I want us to see. For some reason, for most believers, serving has never gotten to be that important in our lives that we will make it a priority. We look at it as disposable time and disposable energy. Oh, God reflects or receives our serving as a sacrifice. Let's look at another section of Scripture here. Serving is a way of loving God. See, we don't think about that. We just think about what we like and what we don't like, what we have to do, what we don't have to do. But serving is a way of loving God. Still there in Hebrews chapter 6, and there's a bigger passage of Scripture that goes along with this. This is the heart of that passage. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the what? Love that you showed for His sake in doing what? Serving the saints, as you still do. You see, it's not just extracurricular church activities. It's all about communicating to God. He looks at it as a sacrifice, but it says here that it communicates our love for Him. All right, now, I'm about to ask, I'm warning you, all right? Are you listening? Quit making your shopping list and listen. I'm warning you, so here's a church question. If I ask, boy, if you miss this one, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what I'm going to do. If I were to ask you personally if you love Jesus, I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that, does it? Right? Your response, the church answer would be, yes. Yes. But if I took it a step farther and I said, oh, that's great. Tell me how you communicate that love to Jesus. How does He know that you love Him? How do you communicate that love to Him? Well, you could tell Him. I wonder this morning, don't raise your hand. The believers that are in the room this morning, I wonder, here you are, you're sitting in church, you've come to worship. I wonder how many of you this morning have said these words, Jesus, I love you today. Isn't it amazing? We just think He takes it for granted. Oh, He just knows. Does that work in your house? Let me just point this to the fellas in here. Hey guys, how long would life be rosy at your house if you never told your wife how much you love her? Well, you ought to know. Go home and say that. Go home and say that. And I want you to take a selfie of how many teeth are missing. How long has it been since you've told him? That's a way of communicating love. You know, when we read God's Word, not just when we listen to a verse because we've got a devotion on our phone and it pops up every morning and reads us a verse, but when we sit down and open God's Word and just read and fill our minds and just get deep into it, you know what? It's communicating to Him, God, I love you so much. I want to know all about you. I want to know more about you. I want to be like you. You know, so when we're in the Word, man, that is communicating our love for Him. When we're on our knees praying, or for those of you that have knee replacement and you're sitting down praying, all right? When we're praying, you know, hopefully that communicates our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we're worshiping, you know, the Scripture uses the phrase, we offer God the sacrifice of praise. Absolutely. That communicates. If I'm singing to Him, if I'm singing to Pat and the team up here, then, you know, we got a different issue going on. But if God is my audience of one and I'm worshiping Him, then He receives that praise as a sacrifice. But you know what else the Scripture says communicates our love to Him? Your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving the saints. Serving always points people to God. Serving is always something that brings Him the glory. It's not humanitarian. It's not being nice. You know, it's something, and you've got to filter through that because that can get sticky and messy, you know, because we're all involved in doing good stuff. But a lot of the good stuff we do doesn't fall into the category of serving because God doesn't really have any part of it. All right? Serving communicates our love to Him. One last thing. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Here are the blanks. Let me fill in the blanks for you. God receives glory when we serve Him. Remember what I said? Serving has to be something that's important to Him, that points people to Him, and where He receives the glory. That's the key, where He receives the glory. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, your serving, what you're doing, and what? And glorify the Father in heaven. Not you. They're not saying, "Oh, Mr. Smith, you're such a wonderful teacher. You're such a wonderful salesman. You're such a wonderful coach. You're such a wonderful engineer." But if what I'm doing is not pointing people to the Father and He's getting glory, then you know what? It's all about me. And it's got to be about Him. See, there's a lot of things. We have a good friend of ours, and I don't want to describe him in any way that somebody might connect the dots and figure out who I'm talking about, because this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friend. But this friend of ours was not a believer. But once a month, regularly, I mean once a month, this certain Saturday, every month, he got together with other guys who weren't believers, and they went and built wheelchair ramps for the elderly in our community. What a great thing. But he's not a believer. they didn't do anything that reflected God. They didn't talk about God. God was never mentioned. God never got the glory. They felt warm and fuzzy inside because they had helped somebody that needed help. And I get that. And that is a really good warm and fuzzy. But who's that for, me or God? It's for me. How many things do we do that if you really look deeply into it, it's all about me? Doesn't point people to the Father. And He's not the one getting glory for it. Wow. See, you've already made up your mind whether you're going to serve or not. There's nothing more I'm going to say. We've pushed it hard for 3 weeks. You'll keep hearing testimonies all through October of people, your friends, people that you're sitting around who are involved serving. Every Sunday, a new segment of our church who's already said yes are going to show up with shirts on. And the number of people, look around, the number of people with shirts are going to grow around you every week. Every week. And my heart for you is this. This is so important. This is so important. And if I could encourage you in any way, if I could influence you in any way, I would push you. You have got to get involved some way, somehow, in serving the Lord. Investing in the spiritual lives of other people. Whether it's little bitty kids, children, students, our college age, our young adults, our senior adults, anywhere in between that, I'm spiritually investing in their lives. I'm meeting the needs of people to win the right to share the gospel, to win the right to talk about God. Because when I meet somebody's needs and then I share with them how that God has arranged this and how this reflects Him and this is not about us, but this is all about God, then who gets glory? Then He's getting the glory in all of this. Serving is so important. So important. And we've talked, you've got this card in your bulletin. We talked 2 weeks ago about all these different teams, ways inside these four walls that you can get involved in serving. Last week, we got out into the community and we talked about these four teams and the different things that we're planning. And you know what? I've had people in this week say, you know what wasn't on that list that I would love to be a part of? And we talked, and it was incredible. And guess who became the leader of that new team? They did, on the spot. Now, that will instantly stop any comments you're about to make in the next few weeks about good ideas, won't it? Because if you got a good idea, I know who the leader of that team's going to be. All right? But real quick, I just want to throw, we've talked about all of these, but there's three opportunities to get out of our church, to get out of our community, three places where we have made commitments to go overseas and invest, partnerships that we've made and we're in the process of making. Let me just describe them to you real quick. In Haiti, we've been working down there now for 5 or 6 years, and we've adopted that village of Souvenants. Why Souvenants? For this one reason. Our heart is to go where the gospel isn't. Our heart is to go where there's the greatest number of unreached people. And Souvenants in that country of Haiti is the very heart of all the voodoo worship. The National Voodoo Temple is right there in the middle of that little village, sitting out in the middle of nowhere, right? Probably 25, 30 minutes from the nearest town, which is a port town, large town. But there's Souvenants. And in the middle of that very satanic run village, God said, this is where I want you to partner. And we've gone in there and we've helped a missionary there, a local missionary named Elize Cade. And we've helped him construct a physical church building The one he had was falling apart, and so we've sent construction teams down there, and we've helped repair and replace the church. We, Elize, what's it going to take to reach these people? He says, you always aim for the next generation. You know, these adults are a lot like the ones in your church. They've already made their minds up what they're going to do and what they're not. And he said, let's reach the young. And so we need a school. And so you did it. We've taken an offering every year, and we went down there and we started kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, and first grade, and then we've added a grade. We've got 300 kids in our school now, and it's amazing. Those are the only children in that village that eat every day because we feed them at lunch. No other kid in that village has a meal every day, but these children do. Because we feel like that if their bellies are full, their hearts will be hungry as well. All right? And so we've seen kids saved in our school. We've sent teams down every summer to do Bible school there in Souvenance. And we started at the church, and boy, a lot of kids came. And so we started doing in areas around the church. And the last time that we were able to go, we had a team of... Where's Jackie? He's serving. Oh, what a great answer. That looks like a setup, doesn't it? Oh, my gosh. Brian, how many? Do y'all have a dozen? 12 or 13. It really doesn't matter whether it was 12 or 13 because there were 950 kids. And I don't care how you divide by 12 or 13. The ratio there is humongous. And so we've had lots of children saved. There's a children's choir in church now. And all their mamas have made them matching outfits. And they sing in church. I'll show you a video of that one day. And then we've done medical clinics. We've taken doctors and nurses and eye doctors and eye surgeons and dentists and pharmacy and just everything down there because they have access to medical care in that town. But that town's 30 minutes away and they have no money to pay for medicine. Oh, my tooth is killing me. I've got an abscess. Oh, really? Well, for $150, the dentist will pull it. Well, they only make $100 a year to buy food and to do everything else with it. And so what do you do when you have a toothache? Well, you can't get it pulled at the dentist. Daddy gets his knife. That's the world we live in. And so, but here's the thing. If you've been watching the news, I don't know how much news people you are. Haiti's a mess. Haiti is an absolute mess. And it's all about the corruption in the government, and they're trying to get the president to leave because he's very wicked and crooked, and don't get me started on this because I think America's got a huge hand in why he's so crooked. But that's a conversation for another day. But they're rioting, they're burning tires, and this it's not safe. And so our State Department, not this year but the year before, put a travel ban. For the medical team, it's been 2 years since I've been down there just because of all the violence. And so we've had teams ready that just hadn't been able to go. So we started looking for a new partnership, not to get rid of this one, but both and, not an either or. And so I'm looking at a partnership. And this was like the last 6 or 8 months I've been working on this. And so I call our International Mission Board in Virginia, and I say, okay, here's who I am. Here's what I've done in my mission resume over all these years. Here's what we're capable of doing. I'm looking for a new partnership, but I don't want to go to XYZ Church and be one more church that rolls into town a year. And I don't want to just help churches that are already there and working and going strong. I want an unreached people group. That's what I want our church to be involved in. And so, honest, I have to tell you honest, like I'm going to stand here and lie to you. All right, So here are the countries that I've talked to in the last 8 months. I've been connected with the missionaries in these countries, and I'm probably leaving out some. I'm going to start at the bottom of South America and come north. But Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, Uruguay, Paraguay, Ecuador, Colombia, all the way coming up, Panama, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Mexico. And I've talked to the missionaries that are in charge of those areas, because each of those areas have different little people groups that are unreached. And not one time in all of those countries was it a right fit for us. There was always something where it's like, yeah, that's a good opportunity. Thanks, but no thanks. And so we're looking. Brazil, I didn't name Brazil. Finally, a lady from Brazil called and said, you know what, I've heard what you're looking for, and I think there's a guy in Mexico that you need to talk to. His name's Lauren Dickey. So I'm going to call Lauren and have him get in touch with you. And so Lauren calls, and we get to talking, and it's so amazing because without knowing each other, we worked together for about 10 years in Nicaragua. We were down there together. We were just in different places. And so he said, if you were in Nicaragua with Jim Palmer for almost 25 years, I know how you think. I know your heart. I know what you can do. And so we need to partner together. There's an area in my ministry called the Heart of Darkness. It's the least reached people group in all of the Americas, North America, Central America, South America. And it's like, oh, why is it the least reach of everything? You know, or do they kill people? Are these savages kind of like cannibals? I mean, what's the issue here? He says, no, wonderful people, but the Catholic Church is so strong here that these people don't want to talk about Jesus. They want to talk about church. And they're going to heaven because they're a Catholic and not because they've given their life to Christ. Not throwing rocks. I know several families in here have come out of a Catholic background. But there's a difference in church and a relationship, right? I don't care whether you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, whatever. And so he said, I really could use you guys. Would you come look at this? And so we set up a time just to go down there and look. Well, the next day, it morphed. And he said, you know what? Since you're coming, why don't you bring a team with you? Because I got things that you guys, I need you to help do this. And so after about 30 conversations back and forth, here's the bottom line. 2 weeks from Friday, 7 of us are going down there. And if I could pronounce the name of the town, I'd tell it to you. Right? Where's my Spanish friends? Lalo, are you in here? Jesse? Lalo! Come here, my friend. Come here. You got to meet this guy. Come here. Give him a big hand. Come here. If you've not met this family, you are missing out. Lalo and his wife Lucy, Sister Elizabeth. Yes, come on here. We're going to all have a Spanish lesson. Give me a mic. Is this one good? All right, here, come on, let's get up front. We're both real short. All right. Works better when it's on. All right. So, do you remember the name of the town that I told you we were going to? You think so? All right. Say it again.
Guanajuato.
Q-U-E-R-E-T-A-R-O.
Querétaro.
Querétaro. Yes. Querétaro. So, he gave me a Spanish lesson at the Cotton Classic on the sidelines. While you were cheering for Buckhorn and Hazel Green and somebody was about to win, I'm over here trying to roll R's. And he is, do you remember that? And he's laughing at me and he says, no, no. And he'd say it again, say it again.
Querétaro.
Querétaro. Hey! Was it? Did I do it? He says, oh no, oh no. We did that for 10 minutes. Pat.
He can do better. He can say better.
He was on one side of the fence, I was on the other. He looked at me and he says, he can say it much better than you. I'm going to crawl this fence in about 10 seconds here. Querétaro.
Querétaro.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're going to go with me one day, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, good. Hey, give Lilo a big hand. That's great. Querétaro. So anyway, we're going on Friday, and here it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's like getting married because they want a 5-year commitment. They want us to bring from 3 to 5 teams every year for 5 years. That's not a one and done. I mean, this girl better be good looking because we're getting married, right? I mean, this is a partnership. And so the 7 of us are not just building stuff, but we've really got to look. Is this the partnership for Flint River? And we're going to begin meeting this afternoon, begin praying about that. So you pray with us as well. There's another team, and we sent a construction team to Israel last December, and we've got one that we're planning for next year, and it will be a construction-type trip up in the Galilee. And this is mostly for people that have been before, because if you've never been to Israel, I don't want to get you inside of a building and you paint all week, right? You need to go and you need to experience Israel. But for those that have been before, there's some really neat things that we can do to be involved in sharing the gospel in Galilee with the Jewish people there. Oh, I thought it was against the law to do that. No, as long as you do it right. There's no law against that. We're not going to get thrown out of the country. But we're going to share the gospel with God's chosen people. Now, we won't do that all the time that we're there. We'll take 2 or 3 days out to just go play and look around at things that you don't see on the normal tour. You know, we're going to go over to the coast and let you explore Akko and get up there by the Lebanese border. There's so many good things. So there'll be some fun involved in it. But those are for like second timers that would love to go back. Have you got a yes shirt on yet? I would love to give you one. I'm waiting on you. God created us to serve Him. He commanded us. We're going to stand accountable for it. And when we serve Him, if we get our eyes off of us, because it's not about who, it's not about us, but if we can understand that He sees our serving as a sacrifice, that He receives glory from our serving, and that our serving communicates our love to Him, I do not understand how a believer can say anything but yes. Let's pray together.